tragedy, which took place almost 96 years ago, in which the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt in Medina were demolished by the Wahhabis. The actual date was 8th of Shawwal. That is why we are commemorating this event in the first week of Shawwal in the year 1343. This makes it to 96 years according to the Hijri calendar. According to the common calendar, it happened on the 2nd May of 1925, which brings it to about 93 years. And that is why you will see that this issue of protesting against demolition of the shrines of Baqi has been there all the time. Sometimes it becomes, you know, very low profile. Sometimes the momentum picks up. These days, there is a movement in the Shia world to highlight this issue and more in order to create this awareness, especially when we reach to the 100th year of that tragedy. The reason why the Wahhabis committed this crime, I would call the crime against humanity, because it was a crime against human civilization, is because of their narrow-mindedness, where they refuse. I don't believe they don't have the intelligence to understand, but they insist on not distinguishing the act of worship from the act of respecting. There's a big difference, worshiping someone and respecting someone. And this is where we see that, you know, when they talk about this issue of visiting the graves and the shrines of the prophets and the awliya and the imams, they consider that to be idol worshiping. And they consider the shrines to be the symbols of idolatry. And therefore they believe that as soon as they get power to destroy those symbols of shirk, you know, they have to do whatever is possible for them in order to demolish those symbols of shirk according to their perspective. You know, the rulers of Saudi Arabia, they call themselves the Khadim al-Haramain. They are the servants of the two, you know, shrines of Mecca and Medina. So they actually supervise the rituals of Hajj. And this is the irony. Sometimes things are there, right there. Still you don't see it. You know, just think about the rituals of Hajj. Beginning to the end, it is nothing but symbolism. In Surah Hajj, Surah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about Hajj and the pilgrimage, you know, he uses this term of ta'zeem of sha'ir Allah. Ta'zim is different from ibadat. Ibadat means worshipping. Ta'zim means respecting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term sha'air. Sha'air Allah, where he is saying the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, it is something that you have to respect when it comes to the sha'air and the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Interestingly, in that surah, if you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes the mountain of Safa and Marwa, or the hills of Safa and Marwa. He says, this is from Sha'air of Allah. When it comes to an item like Maqam Ibrahim is not really a place. There's a stone there. And that stone has the imprint of the feet of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was building the Kaaba. So if you really want to see something very close to idol worshipping, that would be the one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this Maqam Ibrahim is from the Sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, once you finish doing tawaf, do two rakat namaz by the Maqam Ibrahim. Not only that, even when it comes to these, you know, animal that you buy there, to slaughter in Mina, the sheep or the goat, they don't come from Jannah. They are kind of, in a way, replica of the sacrifice made by Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Ibrahim got the sheep brought by Jibreel from Jannah. We get it from Australia and New Zealand. No relationship there. Still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even this sacrificial animal that you slaughter in Mina, this is from Sha'ir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where they don't realize that, you know, when it comes to the issue of respecting, this is not worshipping. And if you look at the ayat where he says, ayat number 32 of Surah Hajj, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ, and whoever respects شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, this act of respecting the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indication of the taqwa of the heart of that individual. You know, many times we talk about, you know, how do we know a person has a taqwa? Is there a test for it? Well, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. If you really want to see there is a taqwa in the heart of a mu'min or a Muslim or not, see whether he respects the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Because respecting sha'irullah is a sign that there is true taqwa in the heart of that individual. Salawat pranayak parah. But the Wahhabis, you know, can be in Mecca, they can be in Masjid al-Haram, they can carry the Quran, you know, but it doesn't mean they understand it or they want to open their eyes to look at the realities which are there. And this is where, you know, they actually even use the term Salafi for themselves. They don't like it when we say they are Wahhabi. It was a mazhab started by Abdul Wahhab, and because of the name of the founder, it's called Wahhabi, followers of Abdul Wahhab. But they like to use the term Salafi. Salafi means those who are following the first generations of the Muslim history. Means they are following the tradition of the Prophet and the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, you know, the second generation after the Sahaba. 2 years ago, and I don't want to repeat that, 2 years ago in this majlis of the same occasion, I actually used a book from the Saudis published these days in Medina about the historical places of Medina. And there I showed that the Prophet, all the Khulafa, from Abu Bakr to Umar to Usman to Amir al-Mu'mineen, of course, and even Muawiyah, they not only, you know, agreed with this issue of ziyarat and going for the ziyarat of the Qubur, of the Shuhada and the Prophet, rather they actually practically did that themselves. So what Salaf they are following? They are not really Salafis. They have their own breed of understanding and aqidah, which has nothing to do with the mainstream Islam, whether it is Shia Islam or Sunni, especially this Sufi branch of Islam. Salawat manik barawat. One of their wish, which has not been materialized, and may Allah never bring that day. May Allah destroy them before that day. Is that they would like to see this green dome of Rasulullah's shrine coming down. And this is in their books, very clear. They would have done it in 1925. The reason why they didn't do, because they realized when they destroy the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt in Baqi, or the wives of the Prophet, or the Sahaba who had their own graves in Baqi, you know, there will be an outcry, but mostly, you know, limited to the Shias. But if they touch Masjid al-Nabi and the shrine of Rasulullah, the opposition would be such that they will not be able to sustain that. And therefore, they stop there. They still say this is actually the biggest idol in Islam when they talk about the shrine of Rasulullah. They believe all Muslims who go for ziyarat or kiss the zari, They are all mushrik, according to them. They don't realize expressing love is one thing, respecting the grave of Rasulullah is one thing, and doing ibadat of Rasulullah is something else. And this is where we see that, you know, I'll just give you one quotation from a fatwa, which was signed by their highest, committee of fatwa, headed by Bin Baz. Bin Baz was the main mufti who died almost 15 years ago. And the question was, and this is question number 4,150. It's a compilation of all the fatwa there that they have. And question number 4 there says, As-salat fi masjidin fihi qabrun, hal yajuz, hal tajuz? Is it permissible to pray in a masjid which has a grave in it? And please explain that in detail, because there are many who say, if you can have the grave of the Prophet in Masjid al-Nabi, why can't you have a grave in another masjid? And so they are asking for this question, and the fatwa and the answer is, لا تجوز الصلاة في المساجد التي فيها قبر أو قبور. It is not permissible to pray in the mosques in which there is a grave or graves. And after giving one or two hadiths from their own sources, he says, وَيَجِبُ عَلَى وَلِيِّ أَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ يَحْدِمَ مَا بَنَى عَلَى الْقُبُورِ مِنَ الْمَسَاجِدِ. They say it is the duty of the Muslim ruler of the time to demolish the building, you know, on which in which there is the grave in the masajid. Because لِأَنَّهَا أُسِّسَتْ عَلَى غَيْرِ التَّقْوَى. Because that is a masjid which has been established not on the basis of taqwa. وَعَنِّي يَنْبَشُ مِنْ يَنْبِشُ عَنْ مَنْ دَفِنَ فِي الْمَسْجِدْ بَعْدَ بِنَائِهِ. And they should actually open up the grave. And if there is anything remaining in there, they have to remove it and take it to the general, you know, cemetery and bury the remains over there, and like any other grave. After they have done this, then that masjid becomes, you know, right to do namaz and salat in it. And so this is their perspective about even Masjid al-Nabi. You know, the way they go about talking about the grave of the Prophet when the Zuwar go there, sometimes in a very insulting and humiliating manner. But we'll leave that for other time, inshallah. Salawat upon the Ikbara. Rasulullah was there, he brought Quran, he brought Islam. The Khalifa were there. And the most sacred masjid in the world is which masjid? Huh? Masjid al-Haram. Right beside the Kaaba, there are two graves of Hajira and Ismail, the mother and the son. Rasulullah didn't say, now that we have control on Makkah, let us, you know, remove this grave. Because this is a masjid, this is Masjid al-Haram, you can't pray here. No. The Khalifa have been there, they had no problem. Even you Wahhabis don't have the, you know, courage to live by what you say. You can't do anything now. But the presence of those two graves in Masjid al-Haram, the most sacred of all the mosques in the world, shows that there is no problem in having a grave inside a masjid. And you have a problem with this grave of Rasulullah. You are the one who extended the masjid now. It covers the house of Rasulullah also. If they had their way, they would actually have demolished the shrine and leveled it, and it would just be a place of prayer. And this is where you have to realize that they don't understand this issue of respect and worship. If you stand in front of the grave, it doesn't mean you're worshiping it. Muslims in millions every day stand for prayers facing in the direction of Masjid al-Haram, which also includes the two graves there. Hujjaj go for tawaf. The area where they go do the tawaf, the two graves are included in there. Nobody says, you know, facing the Masjid al-Haram with those two graves is batil. Nobody says doing the tawaf with these two graves by the Kaaba is bid'ah and haram. Because everybody knows that the Muslims have that sense. When they stand up, they are not worshipping the Kaaba, although they face the Kaaba. They are not worshipping any symbol there. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they are commanded to face the Kaaba itself. So you don't look at the appearance and say, oh, he is standing there in front of the Kaaba, it means he's worshipping the Kaaba. No. If they're going to understand the difference between worship and respect, then they will know that they are absolutely, you know, wrong, and they will have to change their attitude. Salawat pranay para. When it comes to the ziyarat of whether it's the Kaaba or Masjid al-Nabi or other masajid or the graves of the prophets and the imams and the awliya, according to our aqidah in the Shia Islam, basically this process of ziyarat of qubur strengthens our faith. You know, it revives our iman and spirit. It's a way of expressing our love and loyalty to the Prophet and his family. And most importantly, ziyarat is actually a way where we ask them to become intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that our wishes and hajat and du'as can be accepted by Allah. He is the one who does everything. But sometimes there are barriers between us and Allah as far as the dua is concerned. This is where we need the wasila. Today I would like to share with you a report. With this, you know, warning about it, that I, and I'm sure those who know me, you know me, that I do not easily accept these stories about miracles and karamat and mu'jizat that easily. I'm not talking about the mu'jizat of the Aima. We are talking about the stories which comes every day. I don't, you know, even when it comes to the great ulama, I still have, you know, reservation about it. Even if I believe it, I wouldn't be talking about it. But recently, I saw a video of a person who is alive. It's a video documentary where he's talking about the time when he was young in Mashhad, long time ago. This is long before the Iranian Revolution. And he talks about his illness, where those days, you know, if somebody's kidney fails, there was no cure there. Both his kidneys failed him, and he ended up dying. But he says, before his death, and you'll be saying, what do I mean when he says before my death? And I come to that. He said, I used to go to the haram of Imam Raza alayhi salam, and I used to do tawassul. That, oh Imam, you can do something for me. And, you know, it's a human nature. He said, Imam, if you do this, those days, of course, he's talking about two to one. He says, if you fulfill this wish of mine, cure my illness, I'll put two to one, you know, $2 in the shrine, in the zari. Those days, you know, it had a value. And that was probably his ability, not more than that. And then he also pleaded to the Imam. He says, I used to say to the Imam, if you don't fulfill my wish, I'm going to go to Qum. I will complain against you with your sister Fatima Masuma in Qum. You know, when a person is in that situation, you know, this is how they express their emotions. He says, the doctors came to the room in the hospital where I was there, and they basically told me and my family that nothing can be done. They asked the nurse to move his bed with his face and feet facing the direction towards Qibla. And he says, soon after that, I died. And he says, I could sense that, you know, they've taken the normal clothes away and put me in the morgue. Those days it wasn't a cold, you know, store as such. They would use ice to preserve the bodies until the funeral next day. And he says, you know, he talks about this issue. Actually, he, in the video that I saw, this was in a majlis with one of the prominent alim from Mashhad sitting beside him. And he described this and even showed the newspaper cutting, the reports of the doctors about it, about what happened to him. And what he says is that when I died and I was there in the morgue, I saw there were two sayyids doing wuzu. And I go there and I say to them, can you help me? I don't want to die. And they said, you go to our you know, grandfathers. That is Imam Musa al-Kazim, the other one is Imam Ali Ridha. So he goes to them, and that is where the person who was identified to him as Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he took out two tuman, gave it to him. He says, when you get the opportunity, go to the Zari and put this two tuman that you have pledged. And then he says that I, you know, became well. And I became alive, and I started throwing the ice which was over me. When I got up, I realized there were three, four other bodies there. I was scared. I went to the door. It was nighttime. It was closed. And I was banging on it. And the guard heard my voice, but he was afraid even to come in. So he got some other people with himself and then brought the lamp. There was no electricity probably those days in that area. And this is where they opened and they saw, you know, this man who was supposed to be dead, he is standing. So they put clothes on him, covered him. They called the doctor. The doctor came in, and this is a doctor who already signed his death certificate. So he sat down and talked with him, examined him. And then early in the morning, he takes him in the ambulance, goes to his home. They were already preparing for the funeral, when the body will be brought. And the doctor brings him in and he says, first of all, I want all of you to be quiet. Don't say anything. I just brought him to let you know that he's alive. He's become alive. But I still have to work on the paperwork because I have all the documents saying he's dead. So I have to go and redo everything and to write my report that he was dead, but now somehow he has become. And he says, when he was there talking with his father and mother and other relatives there, you know, he had, and in his hand he had this two tuman. He wouldn't let it go. The doctor said, you know, let me have a look at it. And he said, no. The only person he agreed to open his hand for was the mother. She looked at it. And then he took it again. The doctor then takes him to the hospital, you know, completes all his paperwork, and then he takes him to the late Ayatollah Milani, one of the Maharaja of that time. You know, his son, Sayyid Fazl Milani, London, one of the prominent ulama of these days. And probably he can vouch this story for us. Ayatollah Milani was informed about this, and as soon as he came in, he welcomed him. They sat down. He described the whole issue, that how I used to go to the haram of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, you know, plead for this hajat that I had to get cured of my kidney problem. And this is where the doctor then told Ayatollah Milani, he's not showing us this coin, he only showed it to his mother. And he said, no, I'll not give it to anyone, I'll show it to Ayatollah Milani. He looked at it and he said, now it's time for you to fulfill your pledge. Let's go to the haram. By that time, the news had spread. There were already people there, haram, waiting to see him. Ayatollah Milani is with him. They go in, and this is the amazing part. It's Ayatollah Milani who says, I saw him put the two tuman in the zari. But the way normally the coins will go down, they didn't go down. Ayatollah Milani says, I saw two hands coming and taking those two tuman. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, when we talk about Rasul and Ali Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them wasila for us. And one of the way of, you know, getting close to them is this issue of ziyarat, of the shrines. And this is where, you know, it basically, Wahhabis don't like it at all. But remember, it's not only the Shias. You know, I'll just give you one example because we don't have that much time. Not only the Shias. There was a famous Sunni alim by the name of Ibn Hibban, an expert in the science of hadith, especially in the area of ilm rijal, you know, where you verify the narrators whether they are authentic or not. He was one of the authorities. And he died in the year 354 of the Islamic calendar. He writes in his book, he says, when I was in Tus, in Mashhad, ما حلت بي شدة في وقت مقامي بتوس فزرت قبر علي بن موسى الرضا. He says, whenever I had serious problems in my life, when I was in Tus, he says, I would go and visit the grave of Ali ibn Musa Raza, salawatullahi ala jaddihi wa alihi. And there by the grave of Ali ibn Musa Raza, I would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve me of that problem. And he says, whenever I went there, my du'as were always, you know, responded to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a positive way. وَزَالَتْ عَنِّي تِلْكَ الشِّدَّةِ And those problems that I had would just, you know, go away. وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ جَرَّبْتُهُ مِرَارًا He says, I have actually experienced this more than once, many times. فَوَجِدْتُ كَذَلِكَ And whenever I did that, I would go to the grave of Imam Raza alayhi salam and there do dua, my du'as would be accepted. And therefore, he ends the story of himself by saying, أَمَاتَنَا اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَبَّةِ الْمُصْطَفَىٰ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ May Allah take us from this dunya in a state that we have the love of Mustafa and Ahl Bayti Mustafa. Salawat. Imam Raza alayhi salam ki baraka, yaqeenan, بہت ہی بابرکت ہے کہا جاتا ہے اگر آپ نہیں گئے ہیں تو اس بات کو یاد رکھیے گا کوئی حدیث وغیرہ نہیں ہے لیکن بزرگوں سے ہم نے سنا ہے کہ آپ پہلی بار اگر جاتے ہیں تو تین حاجت آپ مانگ سکتے ہیں جو وہاں قبول ہوگی لہٰذا ذرا اس کو پرائیورٹی کو ذہن میں رکھتے ہوئے اس طرح سے آپ دعا کریں بہت سے واقعات ملتے ہیں ہم جو ہیں اتنی آسانی سے ان واقعات کو نہیں مانتے ہیں اس معاملے میں ہم نے دیکھا باقاعدہ وہ بندہ زندہ ہے بوڑھا ہو چکا ہے اور اس کے ٹیسٹیمنی ہے نیوز کٹنگ بھی ہے اس سلسلے میں تو ہمارے لیے یقیناً یہ بارگاہ ہے امام رضا علیہ السلام یہ ہمیشہ پر نور ہے واقعاً امام رضا علیہ السلام کو کہا جاتا ہے سلطان خراسان جو وہاں رونق ہوتی ہے چراغاں جو ہوتا ہے پھر آپ وہاں سے عراق جائیے نجف کے حرم کو دیکھیے کربلا کے حرم کو دیکھیے ماشاء اللہ وہاں بھی روشنی نظر آتی ہے سامرہ بھی جائیے متوکل نے کوشش کی قبر حسین کو منہدم کرنے کے لیے وہابیوں نے کوشش کی سامرہ کے حرم کو منہدم کرنے کے لیے لیکن پھر بھی اس حرم کو آپ دیکھیں اپنی عظمت اور بلندی کے ساتھ ابھی بھی کھڑا ہے تعمیر نو سے ہی لیکن وہ ہے اور یہ لوگ نہیں ہیں متوکل بھی مر گیا صدام بھی مر گیا وہ داعش بھی ختم ہو گئے لیکن سامرہ کا روزہ جو ہے اپنی شان اور شوکت کے ساتھ ابھی بھی ہے کاظمین جائیے وہ حضرات جو بغداد میں رہتے ہیں، کاظمیان میں رکھتے ہیں، عراقی دوست وغیرہ سے پوچھیے آپ، وہاں آپ خود جائیے زیارت میں، ذرا غور کریے گا، آپ دیکھیں گے نماز کے وقت صرف شیعہ نہیں ہوتے ہیں، بہت سے ایسے لوگ ہوتے ہیں جنہوں نے اپنے ہاتھ کو باندھا ہوا ہے، اس لیے کہ وہ لوگ بھی جانتے ہیں کہ اگر ہماری دعا خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ تک نہیں پہنچتی ہے، عرش الہی تک پہنچنے میں ہماری دعا میں رکاوٹ ہے، تو یہی لوگ ہیں جس کے ذریعے ہماری دعا وہاں پہنچتی ہے، شیعہ نہ ہوتے ہوئے بھی. تو یہ جتنے مراقد ہیں وہاں پہ ہم لوگ دیکھتے ہیں، روشنی ہے، ازدحام ہے، لوگ جاتے ہیں، روزے رسول پر بھی رونق ہے، لیکن اس روزے سے نکلنے کے بعد جب ہم لوگ کچھ قدم جاتے ہیں، فاصلہ بہت نہیں ہے، صحن مسجد نبی سے بقی تک جاتے ہیں آپ، تو وہاں کیا نظر آتا ہے؟ نہ کوئی روزہ نظر آتا ہے، نہ کوئی گنبد نظر آتا ہے، نہ وہاں کوئی لائٹ ہے، نہ کوئی چراغ ہے، نہ کوئی لیمپ اور دیا ہے، کچھ نہیں ہے. رات کے وقت میں آپ دیکھتے ہیں تو آپ کو وہاں تاریکی نظر آتی ہے، اور وہ قبر جو اہل بیت کی قبور ہیں ان میں احتمال یہ بھی ہے کہ ایک قبر جو ہے اس خاتون کی ہے جس کا نام ہے فاطمۃ الزہرا. یہ خاتون اپنی زندگی میں مظلومہ رہیں، وفات پہ بھی مظلومہ رہیں، اور ابھی بھی کسی کو یقین نہیں ہے کہ قبر کہاں ہے، کیا گھر کے اندر دفن ہوئی تھی یا محراب اور مسجد کے ممبر کے درمیان دفن ہوئی تھی. مختلف روایات ملتی ہیں. ہم لوگ زیارت پڑھتے ہیں، جنت البقیع بھی پڑھتے ہیں. عزداران حسین، یہ بقیع کی مصیبت در حقیقت جناب سیدہ کی مصیبت ہے. بس امام رضا علیہ السلام کے حوالے سے ایک اور بات جناب سیدہ کو اس کے ساتھ لنک کرنے کے لیے، علامہ طباطبائی کا نام آپ نے سنا ہے، ایک عالم بیان کرتے ہیں کہ ہم مشہد میں زیارت کے لیے جب گئے تو جیسے ہی حرم امام رضا علیہ السلام میں انٹر ہوئے تو ہم نے دیکھا کہ اس وقت جو ہے علامہ طباطبائی اپنی زیارت کر کے وہاں سے نکل رہے تھے. انہوں نے موقع غنیمت سمجھا کہ بہت بزرگ عالم ہیں ہمارے زمانے کے، ان سے سلام کرنے کے بعد ایک سوال کرتے ہیں کہ آغا یہ بتائیے کہ امام رضا علیہ السلام کی بارگاہ میں اگر ہماری حاجت روائی ہوتی ہے تو کیا ہم کریں کہ امام جو ہیں ہمارے حاجت کو روا کریں؟ علامہ طباطبائی نے عجیب جملہ کہا ہے، کہا ہے دیکھو وہاں ذریعے امام رضا علیہ السلام کے پاس بیٹھ کر ان کی جدہ فاطمہ کے مصائب کو پڑھو. جب فاطمہ کے مصائب کا ذکر کرو گے اس کے بعد پھر اپنے حاجات کو طلب کرو تو امام رضا علیہ السلام کبھی بھی تمہیں جو ہے خالی ہاتھ نہیں لوٹانے والے ہیں. تو یہ مصیبت ہمارے لیے واقعاً وہ مصیبت ہے جس کو ہمیشہ اس کو زندہ و جاوید رکھنا چاہیے، اس لیے کہ وہ بی بی ہے کہ جو مدینہ میں دنیا سے گئی ہیں، مسلمانوں کی تعداد ہزاروں میں تھی لیکن جنازہ کب اٹھا ہے؟ خود بی بی کی وصیت تھی کہ سب لوگ ہم نہیں چاہتے ہیں آئے، بس کچھ لوگ آئے، جو دشمن تھے ان کو منع کیا تھا. تاریکی شب میں رسول کی بیٹی کے جنازے کو اٹھایا گیا ہے، بس کچھ اہل بیت کے افراد تھے اور کچھ علی کے چاہنے والے تھے، جناب سیدہ کے تابوت کو اٹھایا گیا. دفن کرنے کے بعد امیر المومنین نے کچھ اور قبر بنائی ہے، اس لیے کہ یہ انہدام جنت البقیع اس صدی کا واقعہ ہے، لیکن خدشہ اس زمانے میں بھی تھا، اس لیے کہ دوسرے دن جب دشمنوں کو معلوم ہوا کہ علی نے خبر کیے بغیر فاطمہ کو دفن کر دیا ہے، ایک شخص نے یہ کہا تھا کہ ہم قبر کو کھود کے ہم نماز جنازہ پڑھیں گے. وہ علی جو ہر مرحلے میں صبر کرتا رہا، دروازہ گرا ہے صبر کیا ہے، محسن شہید ہوئے صبر کیا ہے، گردن میں رسن باندھی گئی صبر کیا ہے، فدق کو لوٹا گیا صبر کیا ہے، لیکن جب یہ بات آئی کہ فاطمہ کی قبر کو کھودا جائے گا اس وقت علی نے تلوار کو نکالا ہے اور کہا ہے خبردار کوئی ان قبروں کے قریب بھی آئے گا تو ہم نیان جہاں جہاں جنگ کر کے خون کی ندیاں بہے گی، بس مولا سے کہیں گے آپ نے جناب سیدہ کی قبر کی حفاظت کے لیے اتنا اہتمام کیا ہے، لیکن ہائے وہ زینب اور ام کلثوم، یہ اپنے بھائی کے اس لاش کی پام مالی کو دیکھتی رہی اور ان کے بس میں کچھ بھی نہیں تھا۔ پھر زینب نے ہاتھ کو بلند کرنے کے بعد دعا کی ہے، خداوندہ تیرے آسمان کے ملائک جو ہے رسول پر صلوات پڑھتے ہیں، زمین کربلا میں اس رسول کے نواسے کی لاش کی پامالی ہو لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوند اس خیر عبادت قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہ کو بخش دے، امیر توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما، خداوند تکفیری افواج جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔